Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but hey, you can swing by there anytime to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that stuff over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and if Dan doesn't choke to death, he's at
Dan the Man with three E's.
Okay. No. Dan, I'm tired. I don't know why.
Well, it is Monday.
I just want to go to sleep, so let's call the whole thing off. I'm going to go to bed. Oh. All right, well, I saw you posted this earlier, but I thought this was the, I don't know if you want to call it interesting, strangest, however you want to look at it, but Ty Lue needs to take a leave of absence from the Cavaliers for health issues that were caused by LeBron James, right? I don't think the story said that. I think I added that last part, but they were caused by LeBron James, right?
Yeah, unreported health reasons.
So, you know, and oddly, this comes right after him and LeBron had a heated exchange on the bench. So, kind of interesting timing here, considering there's 13 games left, and I think while everybody believes the Cavaliers are going to be the favorites in the Eastern Conference, I don't think it's going to be as easy as it normally is for them. You read something into this, Dan? Is Lue out the door at the end of the season? You know, I think most of them think James isn't coming back anyways, but what's your read on this?
I think he's done with the team. I mean, I'd be surprised if he came back. I mean, you've got to imagine after what took place, and maybe he's trying to send a message too. Well, if you could do better without me, then good luck.
Yeah. Now, you know, this guy was handpicked by LeBron. Now, you know, I guess you got to kind of start wondering, maybe there was some motives LeBron wanted this guy. I mean, maybe he thought he would be able to walk over him, or just kind of say, hey, you know, we're doing this or we're doing that, and there wouldn't be any backlash, and you know, maybe Lue finally decided to stand up for himself. I mean, we don't know all the inside stuff, but you think any of that's possible? You think that was LeBron's plan going in, was to kind of get a yes man?
I think so. You know, I can't remember who the previous coach was, but I know there was issues with the way he coached and how the King didn't like it, so he had to go.
Yeah, what was that?
The backup.
I want to say it was. Yeah, it was Dave. Wow, what is you know, I know they got him from like the Euro League, and I think his first name was Dave. But yeah, I'm drawing a blank here. David Blatt, that was it. I had to bing it there and see it came up. So, and I actually believe he's back in the Euro League. So you kind of see how that went. He went from Europe to the NBA back to Europe. He didn't even get another sniff at an NBA job. They just shipped him right back to Europe. So, but to be fair, he was pretty successful over there. It just didn't work, you know, here for whatever reason. So, but yeah, you know, I thought that was quite interesting that kind of popped up. you know, just after there was the little incident there and, you know, all that other fun stuff. And I was like, oh, this is kind of odd timing, especially that there's only 13 games left. So.
Well, didn't we touch on the little tiff Friday or Saturday? Or I'm sorry, not Saturday, Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, I'll tell you, if you did it on Saturday, I wasn't here for it, so I don't know what you talked about. But yeah, I believe we did mention it, you know, the day after it happened. You know, you and I definitely brought it up. You know, oddly, what was weird is I didn't ever get to catch a full video of it. I saw, you know, I can't remember even where it was, but I caught about 2 seconds on it on one of the networks, and it was almost like they didn't want to show it. Now, you know, they show everything else, so I wonder if maybe, you know, like I'm sure the Mickey Mouse Network was protecting James because he's their bread and butter along with Steph Curry. They're really the only two guys who play in the NBA if you've ever watched, you know, a Mickey Mouse Network commercial or anything like that, even though they have been better this year. But yeah, the other networks, it just didn't seem to pop up, or I just missed it or something. But I never got a full view of what ended up happening.
No, and it just seemed to be something they were going to brush over until this morning when I saw that. I was just laughing to myself when I saw this.
Yeah, you know, the timing is just so weird, you know, on how this kind of laid out. And, you know, you would think, especially coaching a team like the Cavaliers, that the stress wouldn't be that high. You know, like considering, you know, like we've said a million times, LeBron James basically runs everything. So, but I guess we shall see. You know, in some other Cavs news, I don't know if you saw this, Dan, but Kevin Love is returning tonight after what he was off 21 games with that hand injury. So he comes back. 13 games is plenty of time for him to get ready for the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah. Just like a pitcher.
I read somewhere that he's a good pick on FanDuel tonight, but I didn't use him because I was afraid of his being his first game back. I wasn't sure how many minutes he would play, so I stayed away from him tonight. But there are people out there who think he's a fantastic daily fantasy play tonight.
Well, everyone wants to stay away from him on the court. They don't want to re-injure him.
Yeah. And then humorously, in kind of other, I guess you would call it Cavaliers news. I don't know if you heard this one or not, but Jordan Clarkson, who is one of the guys the Cavaliers picked up, you know, at the trading deadline there, actually believes that humans used to be giants and dinosaurs were their pets.
You know, after the last time when Kyrie, was it Kyrie who came up with the whole the moon isn't real theory? And then kind of was blasted for it. He came out and said that they pretty much just make big stories, their stories. I was going to say big, I don't want to say lies, but they just kind of make stuff up to get some press. You know, get you wanting to listen to the podcast.
Well, you know, I believe Kyrie is a flat earther as well. I believe he's one of the people who believe the earth is flat. So.
Yeah, but that was the thing. They came out afterwards saying that it was all just for publicity. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that. I think he really believed it. And then somebody said, hey, people are going to look at you like an idiot. You better go out there and say it was a joke. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was fun, you know, that he was digging dinosaurs as pets. So
that's what I would have been doing. See, I mean, whoever wrote the Flintstones was spot on, right?
So there you go. Yeah, they were before their time.
Hanna-Barbera. There you go. Got the credit.
Yeah. They owned it. I don't know who wrote it, but they at least owned it. So. You know, that's, you know, that's how it goes. We'll have to see if he was correct. So now, you know, Dan, I'm trying to get excited for this because, you know, like I mentioned, the Cavaliers have 13 games left. We're all getting down to that point. There are in the good old Western Conference, Dan, there are about 8 teams that are competing for the final 6 playoff spots. You know, the Rockets and the Warriors are going to wrap up the 1 and 2 seed. No doubt about that. But Portland, who is in third, is currently just 6.5 games ahead of the 10th place team, who are the Los Angeles Clippers. The Timberwolves have slipped to 8th without Jimmy Butler, Dan. They're holding on to a 1.5 game lead on that final playoff spot. Are the T-Wolves going to be the team that loses out here without Butler? Or are they going to be one of those two teams on the outside looking in, and then everybody's going to be crying that it should just be the 16 best teams?
Yeah, I think they're going to fall out, sadly.
Yeah, kind of sad. You know, they were doing real well, you know, when Jimmy was there, and it just kind of shows you what he's really worth to a team. I'm not sure if he ever really kind of gets the credit he deserves. He was playing the Bulls had.
They were doing very well until Tom Thibodeau overworked him and injured him. Isn't that how it goes?
Yes. Yeah, they were in third place until Tibbs hurt him. So, we'll have to see how it works out. But, you know, to be fair, you know, while they are just a game and a half out of falling out of the playoffs, they're actually only a half game out of fifth place. That's how close this whole thing is. Wow. And they've played one more game than Utah, New Orleans, or San Antonio, who are directly in front of them. So yeah, it's quite a jumble there for them. You know, obviously the thing that hurts them the most is Portland's caught fire. They've won 13 in a row. Utah's won 9 in a row, and the Thunder look like they figured it out and they've won 6 in a row. So, you know, kind of all the teams that were right there with them are getting hot at the, you know, the right time. And it's kind of humorous because when you look in the Eastern Conference, nobody has more than a 2-game winning streak. So, but to be fair, Toronto did win 9 in a row. They just lost their last game. So they were hot for a little while there.
I was going to say, so it's essentially anybody's game, right?
Yeah. And I know, before people get too crazy, you know, Minnesota is 40-31, and they're in 8th in the Western Conference. Miami is 37-33, and they're in 8th in the Eastern Conference. So it's not like some drastically under 500 team is going to get into the playoffs in the East. If Miami happened to be in the West like Memphis would be, they would actually be right there in playoff contention as well for the final spot. So, you know, before you all go crazy and, you know, start running it out there, yes, you know, Minnesota would be ahead of Miami in the standings, but it's not, you know, as crazy as it was a few years ago where I think a couple under 500 teams actually did get into the Eastern Conference playoffs. So hold your jock straps and, you know, let's see how it goes here these last few games.
Hold your jock straps.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't want to say anything too offensive. So, you know how that goes. And Dan, it does not look like the Bulls will be making the playoffs 4-45. So.
Yeah. But.
And sadly, you know, injuries got the better end of the Knicks too as they crashed and burned.
Yeah. Wasn't sure that they were going to go that far anyways.
And then, of course, you know, there are the tanking teams. You know, Phoenix has 19 wins, so does Memphis, and Atlanta's right there with 20. So, you know, that's the sad part is like the Bulls have been tanking all season and they couldn't even do a good job of that. You know, they're still not going to be in a position to get a good draft pick unless they get really lucky in the lottery. So only the Bulls could screw up tanking.
Well, because they weren't supposed to tank. You know, you don't tank in Chicago. Or wait,
yeah.
Is that only the Bears?
Yes, that's both, or all, or one of the above.
Only the Cubs were allowed
just
to
depends
do.
How you... Yes, I think every team in Chicago has now tanked. You know, the Bears didn't officially tank, but they tanked. You know, the White Sox are still in tank mode. The Bulls are going to be in tank mode for a few more years, and it looks like the Blackhawks may be headed that way as well, depending on how that works out. So we'll have to, we'll have to stay with that and see how it goes. I was looking for something. I saw that the Seahawks had made a trade, but I couldn't find it. So I don't know where it went. I guess I'll have to hunt it down later so I can get my own personal benefit there. But I did get the email from Stu. No. He's never going anywhere. Yeah. What do you get from the Yankees? I don't even know how that works out. So I did get the email from Stu today saying he's tired of spring training and he needs the season to start. Are you at that point yet?
I've tried to watch spring training, but I think the whole thing of knowing that doesn't really mean anything and the team that I might be watching isn't going to be the team on the field kind of takes the draw away from it. I think it'd be different if I was there. You know, I think it's a lot different when you're there, but for me as of now, it's just, I've tuned in a little bit, but it's just, I can't really get into it. Because then not only that, broadcasters across the board are just talking about other stuff and because they don't know who half the players are themselves. And, you know, so they're rambling on and I just kind of get bored with it.
Yeah. You know, once the starters come out, it's difficult to stay with a game. It's kind of humorous that, you know, everybody, you know, cause like you said, the announcers don't really know. So everybody is a fantastic prospect and, you know, they, you know, can't wait to see him at the major league level. And it's just kind of like, wait, this guy's 18. When's he coming to the major league level? So.
Well, then, you know, they're talking about their favorite places and whichever side of town they're on.
Yeah.
You know, where do you go to eat? And, you know, I listened to, what's his name? Not Pat, but the other guy, Ron Coomer, sitting there one day. They must have spent two innings or more talking about a guy who's shutting down his restaurant that everyone would go to. You know, I mean, I get it. You know, you're kind of plugging them a little bit, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't really care to hear about it. You know, and when Coomer came in, it was like his first day in spring training. So, you know, he hasn't really been around much. He doesn't, you know, I'm sure, obviously the familiar faces, but that's not who he's going to be talking about during the game. So it was getting a little difficult to watch.
So yeah, and then now interestingly, Dan, how this has kind of worked out. I don't know if you saw this one, but baseball is attempting to lobby Congress to keep players in the minor leagues from earning minimum wage. I actually kind of forgot how little minor league workers make. You know, remember it was a big thing. I think it was McDonald's employees who kind of started the trend and were kicking and screaming. I know, especially in Illinois, for $15 an hour. A minor league baseball player, it says in this article, actually makes less than a fast food worker does, not only on an hourly basis, but on a yearly basis. So there you go, Dan. You want to be a minor league baseball player? You can live in poverty.
That's why you got to play good so you can get the big bucks. You know, I had a friend whose brother was in baseball, and he never made it to the majors, but he was in, I believe, the Braves organization, and played, and he actually lived down in Florida towards Miami, and his wife wasn't very nice, but that's a whole other story. But she would talk about how she lived in Crestwood, Illinois, which used to have a minor league team there, and her whole life, since her brother was a baseball guy, the family would always sponsor kids. So she said it was awkward, especially when she got into her, you know, late teens, and she's like, and you've got these young 20-year-old guys, and you girls are the same as we are to a point, you know, and she walks out of her bedroom down to eat breakfast, and there she is with no makeup on and her hair up and looking crazy. She's like, and there's all these boys at my table, you know. So, I mean, I know that's part of it, is how they manage throughout the season, is fortunate enough to have some sponsors, but, you know, that can't be that comfortable either. And I can imagine, although they're sleeping there, like you said, as the hourly rate, if you divided it and did all the math, probably doesn't equal it, because they're probably spending 10 hours a day or more at the ballpark or wherever their training facilities are. Not so much in the road games.
Yeah, there's a it looks like they're talking here that the guys now, you know what I mean? Obviously, we don't hear a lot about this, because all you hear about is the top draft picks and those guys raking in, you know, the big signing bonuses and all that stuff. But the figure they quote here is $12,000 a year for a minor league baseball player. Now, what baseball is trying to get the government to do is they have a big spending bill coming up that's going to be a very large bill, so it would be one of those things where everybody wouldn't read everything. And they're trying to get them to include a provision accepting minor league baseball players from federal labor laws.
What does that mean? They'll get more money, or
that
they'll make even
more? No, that means they can't do what it is. They wouldn't have to, you know, because if not, they're going to have to redo the whole system and figure out how to get these guys up to, you know, whatever they need or whatever they make there. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that could really, really kind of shake things up. But are you surprised? I'm a little surprised this didn't come to light sooner. Aren't you?
Yeah, and the fact that nobody's really complaining about it, but I guess the more you fight it, you might lose your job.
Yeah, you know, that's always the tough part. I mean, obviously, if, you know, you're the guy fronting it, you know, let's use Colin Kaepernick for an example, even though it's a different sport. You know, he didn't play last year, and now there's even another football player, Eric Reed, was a guy who was right there by, you know, with Kaepernick on the deal. He's a free agent this year. We had all that crazy money being thrown around here and there. He's one of the better defensive backs in football. He didn't get an offer. So, you know, like this was started. This came up from two guys. And let's see if I can find their names again here. But this was two guys who are now out of the game. They were former minor league players. And now neither one is still in the game. So that makes it a little bit easier here. Where is this guy? Kyle Johnson is one of them. He was a minor league outfielder in the Mets organization he's since been released. He actually became the first guy to speak out on his involvement with this case. There are apparently 45 former minor league players named as plaintiffs, you know, in this case.
Bring like a class action or.
Yeah. And they want to get up to 2,000 guys involved. The guy who looks like he's the guy who's going to run it from their side is an attorney by the name of Garrett. I'm going to guess this is Brocious. He's actually a former minor league pitcher turned attorney. So, but yeah, you know, yeah, they mentioned they have, you know, they have 45 current and former minor league players as plaintiffs, and they will include over 2,000 more if this suit maintains its class action status. So yeah, we could see a whole bunch of names, you know, kind of flopping in here. I mean, I doubt it would be anybody we know. I mean, I couldn't, you know, Kyle Johnson played last year. I couldn't tell you anything about him. You know, I don't know anything about Garrett Brocious either, except that, you know, they're included in this article. So. Dan, what does Tim Tebow make? Yeah, he's a minor leaguer.
A lot more.
Yeah, he's probably not making $12,000 a year, huh? He's probably doing a little better than that. Of course, to be fair, he does draw people to the ballpark. So I don't want to rip on Tim Tebow there, because people do come out to see him. He was just kind of the first name who popped into mind, and they have a lovely picture of him here with this article. So,
well, do you think that sometimes that's a lot of the pressure that comes on with some of these international signings? And, you know, not to say that the men who cover prospects and all that stuff are being told what to write, but I mean, do you think that's what the urgency of getting some of these guys up a lot quicker than maybe they should come up? Because a lot of money is being spent down in the minor leagues on them, where, not say it's the American players, but maybe a lot of the local kids aren't getting the millions or the thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars playing the minor leagues.
So, yeah, you know, you've got to figure the more a guy makes, the faster they want to try to get him up to, you know, the major leagues. They want to see, you know, kind of quote unquote what their investment is like, you know, anything else. But yeah, you do wonder if that's, you know, that's part of the plan behind it. I mean, why rush a kid who's making 12 grand a year? So.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not trying to be all conspiratory or whatever, but I mean, there has to be some truth to it. You know, the pressure, maybe not so much from fans, but from the owners. I mean, sitting here, I'm not actually at work today, so. Could be looking up like what the payroll for a Yoan Moncada is, or, you know, I know there's a lot more out there.
Yeah, no, you know, the big name international guys, you know, when, you know, with the, because of the ways the, you know, the rules were, you know, they cashed really good paychecks. You know, like Ohtani took less money because he wanted to come over here. You know, if he would have stayed another year, he would have been, you know, somebody would have been paying him, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to get him on their team. You know, it was just the fact that he wanted to get here now. So I think he's getting $500,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, which obviously isn't anything to sneeze at, but considering, you know, he probably would have been in the, you know, tens or 20 millions a year, it's a big swing there. You know, it's just how, you know, how these things work. And, you know, the guys from Cuba, remember Cespedes came over and got a gigantic deal from the A's. Yeah. You know what I mean? Of all teams, it was the A's. So yeah, there definitely needs to be a way to kind of even out this playing field. You know, somehow, and obviously, you know, not every minor leaguer deserves to make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, but yeah, you know, yeah, I think they definitely need to do a little better than 12 grand a year, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because while Ohtani's salary is only $545,000 only, which I think is at, you know, just above league minimum or right at, he did receive a $2.315 million signing bonus.
Ah, see.
So there's how you structure it.
Yeah.
It's all about the signing bonus.
Yeah, you know, There's, you know, there's always a way around it. But, you know, and on a little of the lighter side that I know you will enjoy very much, I found out that, found an article that Major League Baseball has revealed their special event uniforms for 2018. And what this includes, Dan, are hats. Because I know you love hats. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're doing, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Jackie Robinson. What I'm interested in here, Dan, is they have this pink Yankee hat. And I'm just dying to know if you would buy a pink Yankee hat.
No. You know, that's the thing. I get it. You know, Mother's Day, Father's Day. You know, the Father's Day, they did a light blue, which, I don't know, it's, you know, it's for retail. To get new air, to keep making new hats. But they've been toying with this Mother's Day, Father's Day over the last couple of years, which they didn't announce previously. And it's those ones I could do without, to be honest with you. I think the coolest one, and it's only because of the side patch, would be the Mariano Rivera one. I think it was the White Sox that I first seen post their special event uniforms. And then they've got the Memorial Day, which they've been doing – the camo for what the last, I don't know, what, 10 years or so.
Yeah.
So those are, you know, they're pretty standard. You know, I've got to imagine instead of switching it up every year, like they do for the 4th of July hat, maybe they'll keep it uniform and, you know, only produce so many and then just tweak it a little bit every other year, you know, every year. But I think the one thing for them is they've been doing it for long enough to where maybe these could be a traditional mainstay.
So, yeah, they, you know, they, it does look like they're doing the light blue again for Father's Day. They actually have the Cubs hat as the example here. And, you know, it's okay. I mean, you know, but the, you know, they're doing Jackie Robinson. All the caps are going to have the 42 patch on it. And they use the Mariners hat. So, of course, you know, that's my favorite. It appears that everybody is going to do pink. And what they're going to do is the hat is going to be pink, but the brim will be the team color.
Oh, okay.
So, that's how they're going to handle that. And then, like you mentioned, you know, they're still doing Camouflage Day. You know, they're still going to do 4th of July. So, yeah, it looks like there's five throughout the year that they're going to do. Because counting the Blue Jays, they'll wear red on Canada Day, which is July 1st. So...
When I saw the hats,
I immediately thought of you. I thought, oh, Dan can get some more hats.
Yep, exactly. Which I'm actually, I did get a, finally, after all these years, I did get a 4th of July, like a Star Spangled Banner type one for the Cubs, you know, which I'll sport on 4th of July, Memorial Day, maybe even Labor Day for the hell of it. It's an American holiday. Thanksgiving, you know. But, no, I mean, I'm a sucker for those. And, you know, sometimes I want to make fun of my grown-up friends who still collect toys and put them on display. But I guess it's no different than the hats I have.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I guess it depends. Depends how you feel about them.
Yeah. I don't know.
But,
I guess
I'll
get
some
pop figures.
You know.
You could start collecting them. Tell me how you like it.
Yeah, we were talking. You know, Dan, our drafts are coming up actually this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and then I have Sunday on top of that with the Money League. And you know, one of the guys I know we had kind of mentioned here and there was what the Braves were going to do with Ronald Acuña. You know, he's had a really good spring. You know, I remember seeing, I think it was last week, he actually he homered in a couple games that they ran out there and showed. Let me see if I grab stats here real quick. We'll see how he's doing in the spring. Yeah, he's actually hitting .432 with four homers and 11 RBIs, over 44 at bats. But the fact that he is just 19, yeah, he's 20. He just turned 20 in December. The Braves have decided that it's better for him to go back to Triple A to start the season. You know, of course, when you're rebuilding, you can do things like this because the Braves aren't going to be anywhere near contending in the East, probably still not for a few seasons. So they decided that they want him to start in Triple A. Are you kind of buying their reasons that, you know, he's only 20 and it's better for him to do this, or, you know, is this just more of a, you know, again, a money deal for these guys?
I think part of it's money, but, you know, you've got to be smart. You have to be smart with your money. And for as much as people get upset about things like this, I mean, sometimes I think, you know, that's why you don't own a business, because you would just jump at the first chance you had, and maybe it's not the best opportunity. You know, success is supposed to be, they want to be sustainable, not just instantly right now. It's not like your drive-throughs.
I love the drive-through. It gives me food. Yeah,
oh, that was no. But you know what I mean? I think that they have to be smart on their part, and especially with the state of the Nationals and, you know, possibly what the Mets could have coming back this year, knowing that they're going to most likely end up stuck in the third place spot without an opportunity for that wild card. I don't see the need to rush, especially when you know that next season the whole landscape of the National League East could change. I don't know how much that'll change without Bryce Harper on their team, but it's going to make a significant difference.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, it's kind of like the Chris Bryant move. I understood why the Cubs were doing it, but as a whole, it sucks. You know, I mean, it sucks if you're a fan of the team because, you know, they're basically telling you they don't want to win, you know, this year, you know, but sadly that's baseball today. You know, that very few teams are, you know, built to win, and, you know, that's kind of how it goes. So, you know, we just kind of put up with it.
Yeah, but, you know, in the same sense, too, the Nationals, I don't know how long you could survive without Bryce Harper, but they have Max Scherzer signed through 2021 and Strasburg through 2022. I don't know if that's – I clicked on Gio. You know, Gio's a free agent after this season. He's only at $12 million a year. Tanner Roark's going in his third-year arbitration, and 2020 – after next year, he's a free agent. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And if they aren't able to bring back Harper, you know, what can they do?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know, they do have their own prospect, you know, as well, Victor Robles, who, you know, is possibly close to being ready. I don't know how they're going to handle that. So, while, you know, he's probably not Bryce Harper, but, you know, it's possible that, you know, he would be able to fill that void if they lose him. You know, if they were to lose Harper, there's no, you know, no guarantee that, you know, Harper's going to walk away from the Nationals. I mean, they you know, they've proven they do have money, you know, with the Scherzer signing and the Strasburg signing. So, you know, they're not afraid to you know, to dole it out to their players. So,
well, and right now, coming into this season, they have 34 signed players at $175 million, which I believe the luxury tax, or I know they don't call it that, the competitive balance tax, or whatever kind of funny name they've got for it, I believe sits at around $190, $195, and will considerably, I don't know if it'll be like the NBA, but it does go up over the next three seasons. And I mean, at this point right now, going into the 2019 season, their payroll drops down to $88 million with only 27 individuals signed. You know, the whole landscape of this team, I think, could technically change. And then with them, they have Trey Turner, who's getting the league minimum right now. And, you know, next year he's still in that position, and then he goes into the 3 years of arbitration. And if he continues to play the way he is, they're going to have a great opportunity to, you know, go for a World Series win and not be paying a whole lot for a kid like that, because you figure, what, 2020, a shortstop will be roughly between, you know, maybe it'll change, because I think right now it's between 12 and 16, where maybe he's up to between 14 and 18, so they should be fine. You know, it's just basically their outfield that I think will look totally different once he's out, but, you know, you still have Michael Taylor through 2021, so... You know, maybe the Braves don't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, they're going through some changes as it is. You know, Jason Worth is gone this year, so you know the outfield will be a lot younger. I know it's fun to talk about, but there's no guarantee they're going to lose Harper. You know, we'll have to see. You know, maybe he's got some loyalty because that's the team he came up with. You know, we never know how these guys feel. Either way, he's going to get a big payday from somebody. You know, yeah. You got to figure, you know, the big guns are really going to throw money at him. You know, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, you know, those kind of things. So we'll have to see how it goes. But, yeah, it could really change the face of that division. And, I mean, you know, even this year, if the damn Mets pitchers could just find a way to stay healthy, you know, that could be a whole different landscape there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's just that fun thing that they can't seem to do.
Get healthy or win.
So get healthy. They just can't seem to stay healthy. You know, when they're healthy, they win. So.
And that 2015 team was pretty phenomenal to watch.
Yeah. I missed this earlier. I was in the car on the way home, and I got to the MLB Network just as they were going to commercial, but the tagline on my radio had the name Jorge Polanco up there. Now, he was pretty much expected to be the starting shortstop for the Twins come opening day here in about, you know, 10 days or whatever. Well, that's going to be a little different now, Dan, because he was just hit with an 80-game suspension. So it looks it doesn't. It says he tested positive for Stanzanol, which it seems just about every guy tests positive for when they manage to hit that. So, he blames it on his trainer in the Dominican Republic, is what he's going with here. He said that. I requested from my athletic trainer in the Dominican Republic and consented to take was a combination of vitamin B12 and an iron supplement. So that's the route he's going with there, is that it was the trainer, not him, but the trainer. Because as we know, Dan, it's never these guys' fault. So that's Polanco's version of it. But, yeah, you can say goodbye to him for 80 games.
Yeah. Well, can he appeal? I mean, do you have the right lawyer?
No, in baseball, you do have a secondary test. They take two samples, but like here, he even says that he will regretfully accept the suspension, but he did not intentionally consume the steroid. So.
I mean, it's almost like saying, yeah, I did it.
Yeah, so, but yeah, you know, so this will open up shortstop for Minnesota. They do have Eduardo Escobar, who should fill some of the time. They do have the former Giant, I always butcher this guy's first name, but I believe it's Aaron Adrianza. And there is talk in this article here that they may reach out to Eric Ibar and try to sign him. You know, and get him in to help out for these 80 games. So, but yeah, Polanco was, you know, he was going to be their, you know, planned on being their starter coming into the season. So that's a, you know, pretty big loss for the Twins. I mean, he was solid last year, 13 bombs, 74 RBIs, hit 256. But, you know, as a shortstop, you know, the most important thing was he had a 964 fielding percentage. Only, you know, only made 818 errors and about 335 chances. Oh, excuse me, 507 chances. Sorry, I read the wrong number there. So, yeah, you know, it's, you know, on the, you know, gonna kind of hurt on both sides there. But, yeah, there you go. Well, you know, again, while we're getting closer and closer to fantasy, you know, good thing I have those NA spots in case you want to take Polanco and hang on to him, huh?
Will he be ready when he gets back?
You know, that's always the question, you know, like D. Gordon was. You know, D. Gordon came back and played pretty well, you know, after his suspension. What was that, a year or two ago? So, I guess it just kind of depends who you are. Well, you know, and then I saw a couple more pitchers found some new homes. Trevor Cahill signed back with the A's, where he actually started his career, and Clay Buchholz, a little bit of a surprise, got a deal with the Royals.
Ooh.
So the Royals just kind of appear to be throwing anything at the wall and seeing if it sticks, and I'm sure. You know, they probably got Buchholz on a really good deal here, but yeah, at this point in time, I don't know if he could, you know, he could give you, you know, anything. You know, Cahill, I thought, was kind of, you know, an interesting free agent, kind of wandering into the off season. Remember when he was with, you know, San Diego last year, he pitched really well as a starter, you know, and then he pitched well enough to get himself traded to Kansas City for the playoff race. Man, did he suck with the Royals. You know, I mean, he ended up making 10 appearances, 8.22 ERA. So, but yeah, going back to Oakland, he played his first three seasons there. Actually won 18 games in Oakland back in 2010. You know, I don't know if they'll use him as a starter or if he'll just, you know, maybe be the long guy. They do have some young starting pitchers there, so maybe they want to add a veteran in like Cahill. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But I, you know, who knows? Maybe they're going to the six-man rotation and they need him to be the sixth guy. So.
Oh, well, and don't forget, you know, you mentioned he was let go by the Royals who signed Clay Buchholz. But they also signed, made it official today, for 1 year at a 1.25 mil, Justin Grimm. So he's found a sign.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that over the weekend. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I guess Kansas City's just signing all the kind of veteran wayward pitchers, huh? That's where you go when you need a job? So.
Well, they need to sign somebody, so I guess that's what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess it's one of those things where it never hurts to look at these guys. You just, you know, I think, you know, and when it comes to stuff like that, I believe maybe we've seen him too much, so we're a little jaded when it comes to a guy like Grimm. But
maybe being on the Royals, he can get some sort of consistency that he didn't get in Chicago.
Yeah. So, you know, I know a couple more veteran guys got released. Cleveland decided to let Melvin Upton Jr. and Ryan Hannigan go. So, you know, they'll be out there. I guess neither one of them really wanted to go to the minors at this point in their career. So, you know, if they're interested there, you can, you know, add those guys if, you know, a team thinks it needs a catcher or an outfielder. So, but yeah, all the pitchers signed Dan and still no Alex Cobb. So, you know, it's looking, you know, at this point, Dan, he's not going to be anywhere when the season opens next week, is he?
No. He's going to be at home watching.
Yeah. Now, do you think, does he eventually land somewhere? I mean, does somebody finally reach out to this guy and, you know, I mean, they worked out a deal with Arrieta. I mean, Arrieta basically got the money he wanted. just didn't get the years. You know, I mean, is Cobb finally going to get something close?
He should. I would think he would, but, I mean, you know, that's when you put yourself out there for too much. Nobody wants to pay it.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously, again, you know, we've talked about it. I mean, they're all off the board now. I mean, you know, we're seeing guys like Buchholz and Cahill get signed, and obviously Cobb wasn't going to take the kind of money those two guys got. You know, there's no way he would have came in for that kind of money. But, we're still kind of looking at it here as, you know, there he is sitting on the sidelines instead of playing baseball, which what he should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Spot Track doesn't even have Cahill's contract details yet.
Yeah, you got to figure... You know, yeah, I'm sure it's not, sure it's not much. I wonder if he probably got the minor league deal. Cause like, I know Buchholz contract is actually a minor league deal that pays him like $1.5 million if he gets to the majors. So. You know, we'll just, you know, again, just one of those things we'll have to see. I mean, you know, and I always like Clay Buchholz. You just got to wonder if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, the one year I had him, he was phenomenal, and he got hurt.
So, yeah, I think I actually picked him as my comeback player of the year a year or two ago or something like that, and he got hurt right away, and that was the end of that. So, like, well. So much for that. You know, what do you make of this one, Dan? I just caught the headline of this article. I'm wondering if you heard or saw anything about it. Chris Bryan apparently wants to be the Cubs player rep so he can fight for the next CBA.
Well, I think that shows good that he's not just about himself, so to speak. He wants to look to better the players than the league.
Yeah. Do you want Chris Bryan as your player rep, Dan, if you were a Cub?
Sure, why not? He's going to be there, so well, he should be, right?
You would think. You know, again, you never know. So,
yeah.
You know, I know, you know, just some other, you know, like quick things I saw. I guess apparently baseball wants to start off, well, maybe it's not opening day, but at some point in 2019, they want to have the Yankees and the Red Sox play a two-game series in London.
So they're definitely trying to capitalize on what the NFL is doing.
Or they're trying to kill the London audience because, you know, those games take about 4 hours. So depending on how they feel about that, we'll have to see. Of course, by then we'll have speeded up rules, right?
Yeah, but the one thing you're forgetting is that would be acceptable in England, jolly old England, whose sport is cricket, which the longest cricket match, I think, was between 7 and 14 days. So, you know, like you mentioned, the fact that the Red Sox-Yankee games are generally almost always 4 hours long, no matter what. It could be a 12-to-12 game or a 1-to-1 game. It's 4 hours long. But, you know, the other side of it is you don't get to see live baseball, so it might not be such a bad thing.
Yeah, but Dan, I love cricket. Oh, sorry.
You know, that's what I mean. 4 hours of baseball to an Englander, I don't know what you call them, might not be so bad. They could probably sit through it. Plus, you know, it's baseball, so they don't get to see it. I mean, you see the draw for the NFL games that go there.
You know, it is. It will be two regular season games too, as well. It won't be exhibition. The article I said didn't point out when they would try to do this. I don't know if it would start season like wasn't it, it was the Dodgers and somebody who started the season, and was it Australia? Which
yeah,
they screwed up. They screwed that one up majorly because they went and played the two games and then they came back for another week of spring training. So that was really dumb. I hope they don't do something like that because that's just stupid. So, and I know the one year the Cubs opened in Japan the one year, right? If I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they opened there, but I know they played a game. But I mean, that's the thing. Because that's what doesn't make total sense to me is the fact that you're going to try to capitalize on the English money. I don't know if the conversion rate's better where you'll make more money sending them there. But with the amount of Japanese ball players that come over, you would think they would try to do something where they have, say, the Mariners and the Angels headed over there this season. You can't tell me that wouldn't make some money.
Yeah.
Especially with you said
Ichiro
would Ichiro back,
play?
Right?
Would he play? Would he have to?
He would have to play. Barring injury, you cannot take the Mariners to Japan and have him not go up against Otani. That would be the dumbest. That's like hosting an independent wrestling show in a Mexican neighborhood where everybody speaks Spanish and not having any flyers there in Spanish.
Wait, your cousin did that. Sorry. I mean, sorry. So even though it was suggested over and over to get some in that language, but that's another story for another podcast. So.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like you did. So I don't understand why they aren't sending some of the West Coast teams, because I'm sure you can get a draw sending the Yankees there, but I think it'd be a little bit more difficult just with the time. Of the travel, not the time travel per se, to get the Yankees over there. But at the same time, you could plan a big West Coast trip and give them a couple days off. I think it's doable. I don't see why not.
Yeah, you know, I think it, you know, in certain situations, it doesn't always have to be the Yankees and Red Sox. You know, I definitely think they could ship, you know, other teams to those areas and have them, you know, have them still be successful.
Who knows? Because the Yankees have that Japanese pitcher that I can't think of his name right now.
Tanaka.
Tanaka.
Yeah. When you draft him this weekend, you'll remember his name.
Yeah, no, I'm drafting CeCe in the 10th, you know, the 12th round or the 17th round when he's supposed to hit there.
In the second round, you're drafting CeCe? Oh,
yeah.
Just on accident. He's going to be in your queue, and then your internet's going to go out, and you're going to accidentally draft him in the second round.
Yeah, that would be something that happens to me.
Sadly, it wouldn't be the first time it's somebody. Wow. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. Maybe Dan will actually even go to work, but hey, we won't push our luck there. You know what to do while we're away? SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter if you want to hunt us down. We're cool with that. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to it at tunein.com.
Radio.